In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, Gary and Damon traveled to Lexington, Kentucky for the third annual Mr. North American Bear Run. They carved out some time on Saturday afternoon to discuss their experiences with fellow attendees Chris Gardner and Rex Mume. Grab a beverage and listen to another show with a series of freeform ideas of what it's like to be hosted by the Kentucky Bourbon Bears in the heart of KY. COL 249 starts now.
I thought maybe you were like, oh, growler on silent. Mm-hmm.
No, I will know if I get a growler message.
I thought you meant we would all know when you got a growler message.
Well, we all kind of know when you get a growler message.
Well, there'll be a flash. It'll be a yellow flash.
Yeah, nice.
But I doubt I'll get anything because once I...
Yellow would be a good color coordination for growler. The logo is yellow. That's clever. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll tell Coley to get right on that. By the way, in all devices, if there's an LED indicator, could you please make sure that they use the color yellow as the indication that your messages on your app are being used? I'm sure that will like take a lot of coding and payments or something weird. So, that being said, let's get started. It's going to be COL episode 249. For those of you that are listening, this is Gary, one of the co-hosts, and with me are two guests, and of course, Mr.
Damon. Hey! How's everybody?
So, those of you that happened to listen before, if you recall, in December, I went to Midwest Bear Fest in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I had Mr. Chess, Mr. Gabriel, and Mr. Jeff on as guests, and we just basically did a roundtable sit and bullshit, like, kind of discussion. So we decided to do that again, and this is a first for the show for you and I, Damon, because... Yeah. All of our episodes are usually done online via Skype, yeah. So we're all scattered across the country.
And you and I are actually in the same room, which is kind of weird.
Gee, thanks. That doesn't sound odd.
No, not at all.
But we had talked ahead, and we thought, well, great, we're both going to be at Kentucky's Mr. North American Bear Run, so why not take the opportunity to do that? And it was very much on the fly, like, who are we going to talk to?
Exactly.
And in this case, really. We have with us two guests. Both of which were here for the weekend with vending. I actually was doing vending, so to speak.
And peddling your run.
Well,
yet again.
To tell you what the background is, before we get to where our guests are, with Adam, who is the coordinator of the committee for the run, he has his own business that he does on the side that he vends at different bear runs, and he came to Drench Fur last year.
Okay.
And he and other folks, including our present guests, have talked to me about coming to Lexington, and I was like, you know what? It's not that far away to go, so let's try that. And I reached out to Adam because I thought this was the more professional way to handle it. I said, I want to come to the run. If I could, I'd like to promote my run. We're not necessarily competitive against each other, but that's not something I see done often. No. It's usually businesses mm-hmm. with products or services that you're purchasing, not someone just shows up and is like, hey, I'm going to be informational.
Some, unless you're doing like sponsoring a after-hours party or cocktail party or something like that, usually you can support a do a run that way.
Right.
But
that's a lot more labor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
it requires more money, more bodies, more people, basically.
You're pretty laid back. It was you and a computer. And a wheel.
and a wheel and a towel. It was pretty basic. So this weekend, I was promoting Drench Fur 10, which is coming up in 7 weeks, which I apologize to the listeners if they're kind of like, really? God, dude, stop talking about your
damn
run.
Yet again.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, it's always a countdown time. Timer to find out exactly how long it will take Gary to turn every conversation back into something about Gary and the run. And that's said with love. It really is.
It is true.
But you could pretty much start a timer of, okay, in about 3 minutes, we're going to come back around full circle in this conversation.
I can put the timer on.
And it'll be back to, oh.
It's too late. We're already there.
What's going on with the run?
We've got 3 more minutes. We're going to be here for a while.
That's true. So the voice that you just heard happens to be Rex Mume, who is owner of Woof Tees.
Correct.
And that is apparel vending, strictly apparel. You guys don't really do T-shirts. Anything outside of that.
That's pretty much it.
Although this weekend, you guys did a killer deal on hoodies.
Yeah, the hoodies. Well, Chris stumbled across the giant boxes of hoodies from other things that had been accumulating, and he's like, well, why don't you ever sell these? And I'm like, I forget.
I have things. Oh, I can sell them. We will sell them.
Yes.
So he was in charge of selling hoodies, and he did exactly that. There's a lot of people have hoodies with goofy stuff on them this weekend.
Yes.
So, Rex, you are from Lima, Ohio.
Right.
Area. And Chris Gardner, you're from Columbus proper?
Mm-hmm.
Are you born and raised from Columbus, by the way?
Just south of Columbus. Little tiny place called Carroll that nobody ever heard of.
Okay. And the reason I ask is someone that I was talking with, might have been Peter, who came with me from my committee, we were discussing where people are from, and I said, I'm pretty sure that Chris is from Columbus area, but I couldn't recall offhand.
Oh, so, yeah, just a little bit south of the suburbs of Columbus.
Uh-huh. So, and you've been helping Rex with Woof Tees for a number of years now.
Yeah, I met Rex at my first Bear Run at Bear Pride 4 years ago.
2009, so maybe?
Four or five years ago.
Yeah, not sure. Which is in and of itself is a good story, but there is a specific name in that story. We're just not going to say that name. It'll just be it or that person.
Him.
Yeah.
It doesn't get a personification.
It lost its gender identity when it turned into the douchebag it had the potential of turning into.
Okay.
No. Duly noted.
let's not get into that story. Cause
yeah,
sounds like some bitter.
A person did something that was very, very mean, especially to someone at their first Bear Run. And by all means, Chris, if you want to explain. Up to the point where you're sitting on a bench and look like somebody just kicked your puppies.
It is a really good story, and Rex is making it sound a little worse than it was, but it was kind of bad. It was my first Bear Run with one of my best friends at the time. He's like, you should totally go to Bear Runs. They're fun. They're awesome. You'll have a blast. We will go together to Chicago. Had this whole plan set up. Then upon getting there, it became quickly apparent that this whole plan that he had laid out was not actually a plan that was laid out. It was this is what we should do. I've not asked anybody about these things. We're going to see if it works.
Oh.
So we get there, we're supposed to be staying with friends of his, and then right when we get there, he goes and books a room. And I'm like, I've not budgeted to pay for half of this room for the weekend. Oh no, we're just staying here for one night since we got here so late so that we're not going to my friend's house and imposing upon them at midnight. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Next thing I know, he's moving the deadline of when we're leaving. Instead of leaving Monday afternoon after everything's been completely done, we're now leaving Monday morning. Oh, wait, now we're leaving Sunday after dinner. Oh, wait, now we're leaving Sunday morning. Oh, wait, now I don't want to stay for the dance thing on Saturday, so we're going to leave Saturday afternoon. After I had paid for my and his run passes for this.
Oh, wait, No.
you're going to find out lots of reasons why it had its gender taken away from it for the shit that it pulled.
Wow. Okay.
And to give a little more background to this, this is about to 6 months after I came into the bear community at all.
Oh.
After I came into the gay community at all.
So
we're nobody. we're having a bear immersion, first time run, big city experience, and it all goes not so well.
Yeah.
That's another point to it too, is that was the first time I'd ever been out of the state of Ohio to a big city, not on a family trip or whatever.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Such a child.
So all of this happens, and he's moving forward the deadlines, and I finally get to a point where I'm fed up with it, and I just go, you know what? Fuck it. Go ahead, leave. I'm staying. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do, and I'm going to turn this into a good weekend that it's supposed to be. Knowing nobody at the run other than Rex, who I had met 14 hours earlier, only person I know at the run at this point.
And the meeting was very much so, hi, how you doing? And me going back to making T-shirts.
Because
at that point, we were swamped with making T-shirts in the lobby of... not the lobby. The... the main ballroom downstairs.
Chicago.
Yeah. Oh. Everybody was really great and basically lined up to get all their t-shirt orders in first thing. So then it was, oh, okay, we've now sold everything, and all we have to do is make all these shirts, but we're not selling anything else the rest of the weekend. Oh, my God, how fast can I get this done?
Oh, wow.
So I was in my head down, don't bother me mode, and it was really, oh, hi, I recognize that person. Okay, back to what I was doing. That's the extent to which we had met.
Alrighty.
So then I'm talking to one person I've talked to online, never met in person. He's like, was very not wanting me to stay in his room, and I wasn't asking him to. But he's like, well, if you can, I can help you to get a room. I can help you to try to find somebody that I know that you can trust if you're willing to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex overhears this conversation and goes, he can stay in our room, and we have to drive through Columbus to go home.
Uh-huh.
So he can stay in our room, and we'll give him a ride home. So Rex really came through as a savior on that day, and that was my first bear run, and that was the first run that I started vending with Rex of helping him do his stuff and sell his shirts. Cool. And just any bear area I've been to since.
Well, my recollection of it is only slightly different, is that I was walking past, and you really looked like you'd been beaten, your puppy kicked. Aww. You just had this look on your face of
what the fuck am I gonna do?
What do I do? And it was just like, hey, what you got going on? What's going on? And then it became then it became, all right, let's see what we can get fixed. We've got plenty of room. You can sleep in our room, no big deal. Now there was also dragging you around to all the different events and introducing you to everybody and saying, this is Chris, an asshole abandoned him here after trying to get him to pay money for a room that he thought was already paid for.
Oh.
And everybody, you know, took him under their wing to be, oh, sweet cubby, he'll be nice to you. And it helps that he's really, really cute. So.
That does help. Always helps. When you're adorbs.
Oh.
I take care of you.
And despite the fact that we tease that Rex is an old perverted man, you actually landed at a good spot at a good time, because anyone could have taken advantage of a situation like that. In a bad situation.
You mean like the person that was taking advantage of him to begin with?
Correct.
Oh. Exactly.
Yeah. No, and that that's interesting. And it's a good, you know, beginner story of things, because I'm thinking back about how I met both of you, and you, it was strictly through the vending, because I had done the brief stint with shirt vending, and it was at Midwest Bear Fest in Indy, and we were at opposite ends of the room for vending, and you guys came in, and they did, at that time, they did the whole shebang. So they had the logoed screen in the background with the lights and the DJ system, and I was like, what is this fucking production? I was like, you bitches sell shirts, come on now. And then when I saw the setup, and I walked down and I looked, and I was like, yep, I'm out of business, because I came with pre-done shirts, and they were very simple. They were black with white or white with black. That was it. Take it or leave it. Here's what we got. And theirs was much more like, what do you want? We'll make it. And I was like, oh, I can't do that.
No.
So I knew at that point, you know, and for me it was purely a hobby. And at that time, Wuftees, for you, Rex,
that was our income.
Right. It was your sole, like, sustenance. So it makes sense why your model at the time was very much, we were traveling, always on the road, going from place to place to place to place, like not really having a home, quote unquote, where the rest of us schlubs were kind of like, I do this on the side. I have a full-time job that, like, gives me my life, so I like to go to runs and do something a little different in that case.
Yeah.
So.
And it was fun, but everything is a job. It looked more fun on Facebook, to quote kind of the, yeah, it all looks really fun into, it's like, oh, we had to sit in the truck for 18 hours driving with no air conditioning.
Oh, shit.
Well, it's like entertainers
in Texas in August.
Well, it's like entertainers who go on the road, and everybody's like, oh, it must be great to live on a tour bus.
No.
You're like bunk bedded on a moving house that hits probably every pothole between each city.
Yep.
And it's not like you magically wake up in the next place and poof, everything's ready. The road crew has to get everything done to set up, to tear down, and the whole bit. And that's what your life was like at that time.
And
what you were doing.
It was fun. It was fun while it lasted. It lasted about as long as it could have possibly lasted. And now things are different.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you change your business model and go with that. And through you, Rex, is how I met Chris.
Right.
Because I went to Bear Camp in Columbus, and we had already known each other. And I think I was vending that year, or that was the first year I stopped vending.
No, you weren't vending for that event.
Okay. Well, because I know that we had both vended at Columbus, I think, at one point.
At one, there was...
Because I think
it was like your last year and our first, maybe, for Columbus.
Because I know that I had vended, I think, 2 years at Bear Camp in Columbus. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? Like, this is just kind of... And because I had made the decision to not make any designs, like, this was it, like... Everyone was always like, I would like to see new designs. And I'm thinking, so would I, but I don't have the hundreds of dollars to make all sorts of shirts. So having a set flat inventory to walk in with every single time, it just became kind of taxing at that point.
Well, and if I remember vaguely, the year that you met Chris was the year that you ended up with no room on Sunday night, maybe? And ended up staying in our room before you had to head back. There was a weird... I don't remember the exact details of the weird situation, but I do remember you were in a bed in the room.
Double entendre.
Sleeping. Maybe not sleeping, but...
Too old.
It was my Sunday night when I was drunk, so it could have been many different things. It could have been any one of a dozen faggots.
Yeah, to own correctly, wow. Yes, I did end up in the... Because you guys had, like, a sweet jointed room.
We had
you guys rooms, had the big, attached. Huge, like, king suite-style room, and then there was next attached to it, I think, a room with either two queens or two doubles. And, yes, that was the room that I had stayed in overnight and woke up the next morning. So... That's the beginning of that. It all kind of comes back around to, wonder what happens in that case, which will get us back to another point of what happened this weekend.
Oh.
And how, even though you already have a room, you may not be staying in that room necessarily, or waking up in that room.
Yeah. Oh, my.
So now we just have to bring it full circle, and eventually I have to rescue you, Damon.
Okay. You have to rescue me for some way.
For some weird, some odd reason.
Say, yeah. Good God. That would be an odd... That's going to be an odd thing, because I can't see working that around.
Well, yeah, because I'm not anywhere near Cincinnati, and
yeah.
I have no desire to
go to Cincinnati.
Anywhere near
Cincinnati. That's fine.
You know, forgive me for dissing on Cincinnati.
Oh, no. That's fine.
I lived there exactly long enough, and it was when they passed the law that said it was illegal to be gay, everyone left.
Yep, but you stayed.
Only for a couple extra years.
Yeah.
I didn't say much.
Because I met you in Cincinnati. I know that much.
And I want to say it would to even be Bear Runish. It was at one of the last. Well, I'm sure they've done other ones for River Bears.
No, they haven't done Furgasm in years.
Well, this was a long ass time ago too, wasn't it?
Well, and that's what I want to point out, because this is, I don't know the details of this, but out of the four of us. To the two of you, y'all have known each other a long time.
Yeah,
mid nineties.
No.
Late nineties.
I didn't move to Cincinnati till 2002.
Okay, then it would have been 2002.
So it was around that time. So I've, depending on when it actually happened, I have known him longer than I have known Jim.
Okay, your current partner, who you've had what 10 and a half years with?
Yeah,
so.
10 and a half. So yeah, interesting. So it's depending on when if we met in 2002, then yes. If we met in 2003, it depends on when we met in 2003.
Well, that's like on the ride down here, Peter from my committee who came down, he also vended. He is a Pampers Chef consultant as a side income. So he did that, and we were side by side to talk about the run, like that kind of thing. Peter and I were talking about how we got to know each other, meaning the people, because he's never been to Indianapolis. He's definitely never been to Lexington Run. So he said, you're going to know a lot of people I will not know. Like, you'll know them by name and sight and that kind of stuff. And he said, so you'll probably be my lead in to getting to know who all these people are, names and faces. And then he was asking the questions like, how do you know some of these people? And I was talking about Jeff. He didn't realize that I met Jeff Rock Hub strictly through our run that we put on. He thought I knew Jeff outside of that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, because Jeff had joined Bearpalooza and I had booked Bearpalooza at my run, and that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and I said, that was the interesting transition, is it went purely from a business relationship to a friendship to now being best friends. Like, I never saw that coming over the course of that time. Just like in starting this event, I never imagined I was going to meet all the people and have a connection or an affect to all of those things.
Back to full circle.
I was about to ask you about that timer.
we managed to figure it out. I'll give you an addendum that you probably don't know about Rock Cub, is that I've known him since the 90s-ish. And this was when he was still, I'm making air quotes, straight Jeff, that he wasn't out at work, he wasn't out with his band, clearly he's a homosexual, and I don't think I'm surprising anybody with that. we'd met and hung out at different things and such, and I knew he had always mentioned being a musician, mm-hmm. but I always thought, oh, it's, you know, some dorky guy with a guitar who's sitting on a bar stool at a airport lounge at the Ramada, not realizing that, no, he is a real musician with a record contract and CDs. And the first time I ever saw him was at Taste of Cincinnati when he was at the stage in the center of the street and leading, I forget which band it was that he was leading for. So then, fast forward a few years to when I was looking for entertainment for an event that I was helping with and putting together. And I was like, you know, Jeff can pretty much still play anything and do it well, or just make up a song on the spot to be entertaining. I was like, we're going to have a dinner situation. Why don't we get him to come and play at the dinner? Because we were going to have the Thursday or Friday dinner. It was in like a Wings place that had a little stage, so it was like the perfect venue to have a bear style of entertainment. And I got a hold of him and kept, you know, egging him and trying to get him to come down. But the other folks that were helping out with the event were all like, oh, it's a weirdo with a guitar. I'm like, no, not a weirdo with a guitar. Here would be his CDs that are in stores. Uh-huh. And they're like, well, how are you going to pay him? And I'm like, I was just going to ask. We've been friends for a long ass time. And that led to him saying, you know, maybe I should do more of that style of event, where I was like, well, if you want to get more involved with that, here's Freddie Freeman's phone number. Call him.
Right.
And, you know, he may know something about the bear community, iffy on whether or not he does. And
nice.
He may know something about music, again, iffy on whether or not he does. That's sarcasm. So that's where Jeff got introduced to
Freddie
to be a part of Barrel Palooza,
which brought him to you.
Which is,
right. So now we have yet another full circle.
Right.
For Mr. Rex.
Yeah. Everybody who gives me shit about how I'm the scorn of the bear community never bothers to check that, you know, I was there at the beginning when one of the first bear runs in Chicago, before they even had a bear run, it was a picnic, mm-hmm. and it snowed.
Well, that's the other. So, speaking of, like, for me, this is all about the connections. And since we're at a bear run, like, this is kind of how it all comes full circle. What Rex is referring to is like, Rex and I have a connection we didn't know until many years later, is that what he's referring to is that John Riley was in Chicago and helped start up the picnic that became Bear Pride the Run.
Uh-huh.
John Riley lived in Erie. His family's from there. He met with me one day and said, hey, you know the new brand new indoor water park called Splash Lagoon that opened this year? I said, yeah. He said, I think it would be fun if we got a bunch of bears together to go there in the afternoon. I said, oh, okay, let's try. Let's see what happens. So we thought maybe we'd get a dozen or two dozen at most. And then long story short, a one-day event turned into a huge turnout. And John was like, this is great, but I'm out. I don't want to be in charge of this thing because this is becoming a run. Like, he saw the writing on the wall. But that's what John's legacy is, though, because then he left Erie and he moved outside of D.C. And then 495 Bears started up and he was active with them and he left and he moved to Florida. Like, I'm like, so at first I never got that about him, but then I realized he's kind of like an innovator, like conceptually comes up with something, you know.
So dropping bear runs.
He's kind of like the fertilizer, so to speak, and like gets things started up conceptually in some fashion, but probably is lucked out, or I don't know if those are the right words, benefited from having people who have leadership qualities or like some skills to be able to make that stuff happen. And wherever he ends up going and does that kind of thing. So I never knew that you knew John until, I don't know how the hell the conversation came up. Yeah. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, you know John? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah. What the frig? Like that's how my event got started. You know, he's the one that had the idea. I was like, sure, like, you know,
when they whatever. Moved to Tampa, I went down to help move furniture and go shopping for furniture. And I totally get the... He got it started, and he's like, oh, this is turning into a run. I went out, because it's like, the next thing you know, there's committee meetings and complications and people asking questions and things that need done and details that need attended to. So when we were down there for the weekend that they were moving, I was like, so which group are you going to get started with down here? What's good? Is there going to be something where we all go to Busch Gardens now? Because they're about a mile and a half, 2 miles from Busch Gardens.
Right.
And he's like, no. I was like, all right, let's start that counter. We'll see how long this takes. I bet within 5 years, there's something.
Yeah, could be. It's interesting how all those interconnections come about. And I think that's the thing that I've enjoyed about the bear community, and especially going to bear runs, is you get to have different experiences, new experiences. Like, this is my first time coming to Lexington.
This is actually my first time at this run.
Okay, so, well, and to be fair, so the listeners know, this is only the third year that they've done this particular run. So it's new, it's in its infancy stage. I was at that point myself in the past. All of us have kind of gone to the new thing, whatever that is, and they've been growing every single year. So I think Adam, you know, who is putting it on with his committee, is doing a great job about trying to give people what they want. And as long as you do that, then the word of mouth gets out there and people are interested and they want to continue to develop that. They want to go see that particular thing.
Well, I have background information a little bit on that too, from when it's now, which liquor is it now? The bourbon, they're Bourbon Bears?
Kentucky Bourbon Bears
is the group.
Because previously it was Moonshine, and then...
Moonshine was Louisville.
Moonshine was Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's always... In Kentucky, it always seems like the Bear Group has liquor, some kind of liquor in its name.
Yes.
Surprise. But the... Adam and
call
I...
call them the horse on the bears.
Had talked...
Wait, I'm pausing Rex to go back to David. What's this about horse hung bears?
Lexington, Kentucky is known for its horses. So,
you know,
liquor, we're known for bourbon and liquor, and we're known for horses. So you were to go one way or the other. So I couldn't see us going.
Nice.
We're going to call ourselves the Horseshoe Bears or the Horse Hung Bears or Saddle Up. Whatever.
Well, Adam and I had
nice
a conversation about starting up something down here, and he's like, well, what do we do? And I was like, you're asking the wrong person. I'm out of the bear run starting business. But the Bourbon Bears wanted to do a traditional bear contest.
Mm.
And when IBR
uh-huh.
stopped having the bear contest, well, stopped happening, but mm-hmm. no longer had the bear contest, they're like, well, we'll pick up and be the bear contest,
right?
And we'll put it on here. And I was like, you're going to have a rough time bringing that together. It's going to be slow to start. People are going to balk.
Yep.
You are asking for a world of hurt. It's going to be a lot of work. And he's like, I got nothing else to do. And he's like,
okay.
Well,
and Adam's buoyant personality is like, I can get it done anyway.
Right. No, and I think that's one of his best assets, is that he definitely brings that to the table. And that's what I was trying to explain to Peter on the way down here, is that conceptually I see runs in different categories, and I was explaining to him that the Kentucky Mr. North American Bear Run is a contest run. And by that I mean contest as in quotes. Like, the reason it exists is because it is a contest for a title.
For Mr. North American Bear.
Right. And the people that are contestants already have titles, be they bar titles, regional titles, state titles, whatever that is, based on the parameters they're allowed to be a contestant here. And I said, there are different runs that exist for different purposes. Bear Pride I see as a holiday run. It takes place always related to Memorial Day. So it's, you know, not about the Memorial Day holiday per se, or a holiday theme. It's just that that's the time of year that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Southern Decadence you know,
always Labor Day,
right? Mm-hmm. So that though, I consider those like kind of in a category. I realize I'm making this shit up. That you know, they're kind of holiday runs, where my run is kind of a specific event run because of what we do with a water park. That's why we exist. Tidal Wave, exact same situation. Theirs is an outdoor water park. Mine's an indoor water park. Do you know what I mean? Like it's conceptually the same thing. Theirs is different though because theirs ties on to Gay Days for Pride for Orlando with the amusement parks. So,
but
each one's got a different flavor of what they're doing.
That Tidal Wave really did, because strangely enough, I ended up at the first Tidal Wave by mistake because I just happened to be in Orlando and was. Oh, there's a beer thing going on.
What, you like stumbled across a cub on the sidewalk?
oh my.
Okay, no, maybe not stumbled across, maybe fell upon in a strategic 69 position, exactly. But you know.
But it's just started out as they were doing the water park thing, and now it's grown into a weekend, 4-5 something days like that. That coincides with Gay Days, and they go to Disneyland, Disney World, Disney...
One of world,
yeah, parks. And you know they've got a this past year the host hotel was dang full,
yeah,
just
and that's another example I was trying to explain to Peter about like with Tidal Wave. I said Tidal Wave can be slightly confusing because technically Tidal Wave is an event that happens at an outdoor water park in the evening. I said for the thing it's really more like the very first year of what we did with ours. And then I said they've expanded it, that there's a host hotel, there are DJ dances, like there's all this stuff. But it's really meant to be a layer added on to Gay Days that you could just go only to the water park if you want to, or you could do all the Gay Days stuff or go in between. Like I said, it's very flexible. It's not that they do everything, meaning they're in charge of everything that's happening all around the area. Yeah,
there's stuff going on in a dozen-ish locations, let alone... the number of hotels in each location for stuff that's going on during Gay Days in Orlando. It's a lot going on, and if you don't go with a plan, you'll get lost.
Wow. Well, it can be overwhelming because with Drew, my friend, having moved to Orlando, checking things out online, and him, like, I finally got it. I was like, oh, it's kind of like the gay community in Orlando decided to have Pride. They expanded it over the course of the week. Every day they go to an amusement park, and then we added the bear community layer on top of it, which is this other thing that they do.
And then there's a lesbian layer, and then there's a twink layer, and they all have their own host hotels, and they all do their own separate things.
Right.
Then you've got all the bars that do their own separate things, and then you've got all the traveling circuit parties that do their things. It's, yeah.
Sweet.
Friends.
So the June Orlando thing is, to me, that's kind of like when people say, like, the fact that Chris went to Bear Pride as his first run, had I known him before that, I would have said no.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're too young, too wet behind the ears. Let's start you off in a sizable run where you can kind of get your feet under you before you, like, take the big jump. Because I tell people, I would probably say Tidal Wave and Bear Pride and TBRU are like some of the largest in the nation. And if they're your first one and your only one, your scale perception is so off the chart, you can't even comprehend or wrap your brain around it. So I tell people, I'm like, if you have an opportunity, go to a smaller one, even if it's a brand new one. Like, get an idea for what this thing is about. And we have some folks that are here this weekend that I talked to, that this is the first one they've ever been to, whether they be from Lexington, Louisville, you know, local or even further away. I'm glad to hear that, you know, that they're kind of starting with this, because to me, I'd rather that you could wrap your brain around the concept of what this thing is. Because, like, the joke was made, like, bears don't run. Why are they called bear runs? They kind of waddle. Yeah. Or whatever. So, you know, and I agree with that. And I think I just prefer that people get to know things, because I think that's just the way we're built. Like, we crawl and then we walk. So, you know, to go to a big thing, I'm like, how you survive a huge event with, like, hundreds upon thousands of people, I don't know. Yeah. Like, you know.
It's hard to do, because it's you're constantly on the go to the next thing.
Yep.
And you get to a certain age and you get to a certain energy level, and it's like, how many cocktail parties can I go to in a day? I'm going to narrow it down to
one
because then I'm going to take a nap.
And even as a reference, like, I have a good number of friends that go to P-Town for Bear Week, and the latest thing I've learned from all of them is that despite your best intentions, you need to have a little bit better strategy, and you do not go to every tea dance. You cannot survive the week and go to every tea dance. And it's not even about a cost thing. Right. Like, your liver will give out. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
I'm done. Out.
Right. And you're like, but it's Tuesday. Like, I got days to go. So, I mean, and that's another event that I tell people I think is kind of on a large scale. Like, it's just – it's such a mass population thing that happens in a short period of time. But I also think that's why we like runs. Like, going to something – we were talking about the getting away, breaking the mold of our day-to-day life and saying, oh, I got to meet a whole group of people I didn't know. I got to re-meet with the people that I do know. I have these connections. It was enjoyable. And then you end up with some crazy-ass stories about what went down and who, what, where, when.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, some of it could be gossipy, but the whole – it's not meant to be. You know,
you just gossip?
Well, okay, let's talk about the fact that bears are gay men, so therefore. You're like, he's such a cute young cubby. He acts so innocent, like he doesn't know.
Please.
Well, right, but you, I think that's what I look at, you know. So in regards to this particular weekend, we're actually recording on Saturday afternoon, so our listeners are aware. Uh-huh. We have not finished the weekend, but all of us have been here since Thursday evening, correct?
Yeah, Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. So you guys got here first, and I think we got here
Hour and a half later.
Peter and I got here about 7-ish, 7:30.
We were here about 4:30.
Oh, okay. So you got here earlier in the day.
Me and Jim, my partner, got here about then, and then my friend Ben got here last night.
Correct.
So,
and that's the thing I like about these kind of weekends is that most of the time they're pretty flexible about when you arrive and when you leave. Like, it's really up to you.
Yeah.
If you want to pay for the full thing and you're only there for half of it, well, you know, that's kind of your deal.
Yeah, that's your thing.
So, but this weekend has really been interesting, and it's funny because to talk now, knowing we've still got the rest of today, tonight, into tomorrow morning, is interesting. I said that to Peter today. I was, because this morning the question was, when is it? It's Saturday. We haven't even made it. Like, the weekend's not over yet.
Yes.
From that, but this weekend has been good. The Campbell Inn that we're at for the hotel, Campbell House, is, I have to say, one of the most interesting facilities that exists that I've ever been to. And I want to clarify what I mean by that. It is an old structure that it was built in 1951. I don't know if it's yet considered a historic landmark, per se.
That I don't know.
The original front structure might be, possibly. But it's got this great southern, like, plantational charm style to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the building has been added on several times.
No. Good God.
Yeah, this two steps up to go two steps down to get to the other side of the hallway. You know, rooms that you can only get to through an elevator from a certain floor, and then you can't get to any of the other floors from that elevator. And then having to go up a ramp, across the hall, up an elevator, to the other side of the building, to an elevator, to a ramp, to get to the other side of the wall if you're carrying equipment from one place to another.
Right. And I realized we're just, the way Rex just laid that out, it sounds like that house out in California that has, like, the 47 doors that lead nowhere or whatever. This is not that building. Honestly, it's a pretty good square structure, actually rectangular grid.
Yeah.
It has four sides. It's all enclosed in, like, pretty much. Although one wing is shut down for construction right now.
Which is making a lot of what Rex was talking about, the problems of going up seven floors to come down three to get to the floor up front of you.
Right. And the whole thing being built on a hill, which I can relate to because I have a hotel I'm very familiar with. It's built on a slope as well. So when you start in one part of the hotel, you don't realize that your ground floor is actually the first floor in other wings because the way the property was built. And that's kind of the way here is because if you pay attention, you have slight rises in the hallway as you move along. So from one end to the other, you may have actually gone up about 4 feet.
Yeah, find Williams
as you go around. Yeah, look for our friend Williams post that he put online about being in the building. But that said, it has a lot of charm to it. You know, it's got good bones. It's just, you got to wrap your brain around the layout of a building. It is not traditional, but I think that makes it fun when you go to an event like this because as opposed to cookie cutter, like it's up, down, left, right. Okay, now I got to find the way to do this particular thing. And yes, the very first night, I know a lot of people were frustrated with, where the hell is the hospitality room?
The number of people, and actually great conversations and have met people from just everybody asking each other as you're going down the hallway, well, how do I get the registration? Well, where's hospitality? Well, how do I get over? It's like, come, you know, me. What? Yeah. Come on. We're just going to walk over there, and you be sure to lead others once you know the path.
Mm-hmm. That's like last night we were at the dance, and Peter was sitting with us, and he said that he wanted go to the front desk. His room key, the room that Peter and I were sharing, his room key didn't work. And because he has conditions with his legs and he walks with a cane, he didn't want to walk all the way to the front desk. So he used the courtesy phone in the hallway, called the front desk and was like, my key does not work. And I am not walking all the way back up to the front of the building to get the key done, because the quickest way to get to front desk is through construction, but you're not supposed to go through there. So technically you've got to do the long way all in the opposite direction to get there. So they came from the front desk and gave him a replacement key. Well, now the situation is we have one known working key to get into the room. Mine presumably was deactivated when they issued the new one.
The front desk staff is pretty good. So far, I got 4 room keys when we checked in, because I tend to lose them. And I think I've already had 2 added to it. And she knows that every time she's just adding a key, not remaking the room keys. So none of them are deactivated. And they can go up to 8, because I've lost 8 room keys in this facility last year.
Nice. So last night, when he, you know, was sitting there explaining that he wanted me to know that my key may not work because he had his replaced, I said, well, then we'll go back up front and we'll just get 2 made from scratch keys. We'll start all over again. And I said, you know, he says, well, how the hell do I get up there? So I flipped over, there was cards on the table. I flipped it to the blank side, took my pen out and was like, well, you got to do this. And I did the zigzag drawing like a blueprint to get to the front desk. And he just looked at it and I knew he wasn't going to want to walk it. And I said, or Chris and I can go walk up to the front and do it. And he's like, okay. I was like, just sit your butt right there, watch the dance or whatever, pay attention to the pretty men, like, we'll be back. Yeah, and so that's what we did. We went all the way up to the front. I got to, I asked the security/facilities guy, Travis, to redo the keys, not knowing what his role was, and he's like, oh, I'm not allowed to do that, or I can't do that. I looked at him, and I was like, what? And he's like, I'm facilities. Like, I don't handle the room keys. I'm not allowed, or I don't know how to do that. And I said, well, there's a skill set you should be learning, like, because I'm pretty sure you could help a lot of people by resetting keys or whatever.
I'm pretty sure he knows how to get into a room with or without a key.
He said, well, I have the master key to the entire building. If you need in any room, I can let you in. To which I said, that's not what I need. But there was a part of me that thought, yes, that would be great, but you don't know who I am. Like, that's the wrong offer to make. And I even told that to, I think her name is Mandy, who was the front desk manager, when she showed up, because I said, this is what I needed, because I had gone to the restroom, I came back. I said, I need these 2 keys completely replaced, started from scratch. She said, okay. And then I told her the joke about, like, trying to get Travis, like, an extra job set, like, skill point. You know, like, if you teach him to do the keys, like, you know, so we kind of laughed about that. Point, but I did, you know, compliment her, and I said, your entire staff here has been very charming, very nice to deal with. Like, when Peter and I first arrived, Chris and Rex know the whole story. We got here, our room was jacked, there were issues with it. Like, we got like the hostel room. I don't know what the story was.
No, this was that is a room that you would only really think you would see in some sort of bad comedy ghost movie.
Oh, no.
That's really just the best way to describe it.
The windows opened to a boarded wall.
Oh, shit.
You
told me this.
The phone didn't work. You couldn't get Wi-Fi. You couldn't get...
Hardline internet.
Reception. Hardline internet. You couldn't get cell phone reception. So it was basically a hole in the universe in which they put a bed.
Yes. So you turned left and went into the Twilight Zone.
What it is it's at the corner of a junction on the inside of the inside. It's like the worst spot in the building you could theoretically have a room, basically. And let me clarify that. If all you needed was a room to put your head in to lay in a bed and sleep and needed nothing else as an amenity, you were good. But unfortunately, we were like, no, we're here for several days, and we would like all the stuff to work and, yes, and appropriately happen. So we got moved from there to the current room we're in, which is much better. But even when we got into the new room, the AC didn't work. Everything you and Rex and Pete had gone into the room. They tested it first to make sure that even wanted it. We had signal. We had Wi-Fi bars or arrows, whatever you call it, you know, and they checked everything, but they didn't. And it was cool in the room, but they didn't realize that the AC wasn't on. And Peter likes his air temperature cold. I don't. And I'm like, okay, well, make sure the AC works. And I, in my head, so I walk over, I turn every blessed knob on this thing, nothing happens. It's like there's no juice. So I check the make sure it's plugged into the wall. I click the reset button, nothing. And in the meantime, we were having a fridge moved from our old room.
I was going to say, the young lady with the wheelie cart moving the fridge.
Right, because in this property, not every room currently before renovation has a fridge.
Yeah.
After renovation, the plan is every room will have fridges. So because we had one, we were taking it with us to the next room. So she's in there, and I'm like, the AC unit doesn't work. So she's on the walkie-talkie talking to the facilities guy. He shows up. And then he turns around and muddles around with it. And I swear the man had magic hands, because he literally was just like hands on, and he's touching it, not touching buttons a whole lot. And it turned on, and I was like, fucker. Like, how the hell did you do that? Because I meddled with it or whatever. But they were really nice to talk to. And they made a point of saying, is there anything else that you need? We're very much appreciative that you guys came for the weekend, and we hope that you have a fun time. And I was like, all right, this is not your usual gig. And that's what I was talking to you about right before we were recording. I said, you know, with business travel, it just seems so cookie cutter. Like, you just, it's the same kind of, not stale, but it's very basic, bland kind of, you know, this is the greeting that you get every single time you walk in the door and whatever. And so I had complimented, I think her name is Mandy, at the front desk. And she very much appreciated when Chris and I talked to her last night and said, she's like, no, she's like, in fact, she gave us some scoop about how it used to be part of a chain. And they had some concerns about being under the flag of that particular brand and this and that. And she said that actually she kind of takes pride that she helped turn the building around and the staff, that she really ingrained in them, because she's originally from Nashville?
Nashville, Tennessee.
And she was like, I taught the people here how to be nice and how to like bring that Southern charm to well, stuff. And I thought that was awesome.
Because, yeah. Considering all that's going on in this hotel this weekend, it's good to have some very patient, tolerable, kind staff.
I would agree, because this weekend could have a real sour taste to it if the staff was not, you know, being polite or nice and got totally bent out of shape and cranky about the situations that take place.
I've been running in other hotels where the staff is just like, why are these people here?
You can have a great bear run in a shitty hotel with a great staff.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a great bear run in a fantastic hotel with a shitty staff.
Yeah.
Right, because their interactions flavor
everything.
The way it goes down, and people could turn around and say, you know what, like, it was okay. Like, I had fun, but, you know, the room actually was really nice, but, you know, like, they were skimpy with the breakfast portions. They were, you know, they never brought me towels. They never emptied the trash. I mean, whatever the issues are.
Well, yeah, while you were in the middle of your room change, you mentioned kind of casually, oh, and there was only one set of towels in the other room, to which they went immediately and got an extra double set of towels for the new room that already had a full set of towels.
A double set of towels? They brought a mountain of towels.
It was a mountain of towels.
On the luggage rack in the closet, there was literally about 3 feet of towels. Right, which I have never seen at any bear run at any hotel that they did that. Now, granted, we got here early on Thursday before everybody arrived and was like, I need towels. So
you were the one hogging all the towels while we only got three in my room. You were doing that.
Well, no, it was just that Peter, who's traveled internationally as well and stuff, he's a little tenacious about that the details are right. And I think because of us having to move and everything, he just decided to run through the laundry list of what was wrong with the last room, what needed to be done in this room, which the new room honestly only needed the AC to work and enough towels.
Which was a reset button on the side of it too, by the way.
Apparently. So he got that piece of it to work. But you were saying about...
going back to the whole labyrinth that we are in.
The maze of the building that we're in, which honestly, it's not that difficult if you think of it in terms of a rectangle.
If you give it a day to kind of get your bearings, you can kind of figure out where everything is. So, this is William. This hotel is extremely mazy. Hallways look identical and with repeating patterns. I keep waiting for Harriet Tubman to find me and take me to Canada. Hashtag inappropriate.
Hashtag William is half black, half white. Hence it's inappropriate.
Hashtag very inappropriate.
Hashtag that just makes it even more inappropriate.
which is why he's had the podcast The Inappropriate Couch that he has done. No, but yeah, we all got a good chuckle out of that, where we were really like, yep, that's pretty fair, to say the least.
When you get here, it is overwhelming. I will admit that. That's the one thing I will say. But as you start finding out where things are and giving yourself landmarks, you can get pretty much everywhere. I will admit, though, it did take me until yesterday to figure out that the elevator near the registration, if you go all the way up, can get you right here, or, you know, like onto the floors with the rooms. I thought it was like separate area kind of thing.
Oh.
You're technically under the rooms.
And keep in mind, there are some elevators that don't go to all the floors.
Well, yes.
So you've got to pick your elevator wisely.
Yeah.
Well, right. And what I came to figure out, like, and I proved it this morning, Chris and I went to breakfast. I took the shortest, most direct path to get directly from our room over to the restaurant for breakfast in, like, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Had we gone the way we're supposed to go, the regular route, it probably would have been at least a good 5-6, like, to travel the whole other, you know, directional path, so to speak, or to get there.
I don't mind the walking. I need the exercise. It does.
Oh, Lord, do I ever need the exercise.
It's been nice.
I would agree that pretty much most of the people at this event this weekend could use with the extra cardio or walking. But
I'm going to take umbrage with that, because this is one of the events where I've seen... Stop doing that.
Sorry.
Chris will hand me the phone with things on it at completely inappropriate times, with even more inappropriate things on the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
You need to stop doing that to him. You need to hand it to him. Share with the class.
Nice.
And I completely forgotten whatever it was that I was going to bring up, and it probably didn't matter.
Well, I was just making reference to the ease or the quickness to be able to get through said facility once you get your bearings in that case.
And we're pausing for Gary.
And they're all reading the thing that...
Yeah.
Okay, if you're going to spell Tubman, do it right. And capitalize it. Good gracious. If I got to go grammar, like, you know, stormtrooper on you about that.
Sexting.
Yeah, we were. I'll change topics completely. A couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. We were bullshitting in Columbus and went and got dinner, and I had to get a new battery for my iPhone. So we were in the Apple store, and I was like, "Hey, can we just get a new battery in it?" While I'm standing there talking to the guy about getting the battery to my phone replaced.
Uh-oh.
Chris hands me his phone, and there is explicit content on the phone while I am in the middle of talking to the guy about getting my battery replaced. I'm not going to mention what the explicit content was, but it was one of those things where I pretty much so completely lost my train of thought, had no idea what was going on, and I'm like, here's your phone, please stop doing that.
So here's an interesting connection to that no one will realize, but our podcast listeners will suddenly get. When I had mentioned about that when I send you messages, you should pay attention to your location and your environment. Why? Because Chris went out for a birthday dinner, and it was after his birthday, like a day later, I realized I had neglected to send him a birthday message on his birthday, so I sent him one the day after. Mine had explicit content in it. I sent it to him, and he's in a public restaurant with other people, and he decides to open the Facebook message, which has an X-rated picture on it. I said, "My apologies for missing your birthday. Hopefully this makes up for it." And then he says, "Oh my God, I'm in a restaurant. The waitress just saw what was on my phone."
Let me note the fact that I have the Galaxy S3 Note, or S Note, the largest phone known to man, aka 24-inch flat screen TV in my hands.
So I tried to school him and say, you should pay attention to your environment as to what you're doing.
Porn.
Right.
All up in the screen.
So I had mentioned on the episode right after that incident happened, it was my, what did you do this week?
Yes.
Did I do that or something?
Did I do that?
The embarrassing moment, to which it was like, it's not really embarrassing for me. It was embarrassing for his ass, because he just decided to open the message in public in front of Gotham screen.
I always have to.
And now the waitress knows your
problem. As much as the podcast knows Gary, I just never would have thought that he would have first messaged to me in this conversation. This wasn't like, oh, hey, hi, by the way, this. It was just the very first thing that he sent me was the explicit image And I just have never gotten that from Gary before, ever.
You wanted that to happen.
No, honestly. Listen. We're talking about Miss Manners moments when it comes to using your phone. But this is what I thought was going to happen. I was sending him an explicit, inappropriate picture, not of myself for the record, that I sent to him, and I thought he would like it. Perhaps he would fap to it before he went to bed that night. I did not expect him to be in a public restaurant with other people celebrating a birthday dinner, mind you, and the waitress standing apparently beside him when said picture comes up on his fucking television in his hand moment. And I was like, well, that's not really my fault. Like, I sent the message.
Same time. But realizing how connected we all are with our phones and our internets and everything else. It's going to get to his phone, and he's going to open it. I'm just saying. It's possible.
And I said on the podcast, if I send you a message, should think just real quick, where am I? Could this possibly be, like, inappropriate? You know, check yourself.
So, Gary is inappropriate.
Surprise.
Sometimes.
Now I remember what my train of thought was before... Chris handed me in the phone, and we went down a rabbit hole. It was the crowd, the attendees for this event,
mm-hmm.
very varied.
Yes.
Very varied. It runs the gambit from the twinks to the fat twinks to the cubs to the bears to the leather folks to, I mean, it's a really... good Very. Mix of people.
I will say, out of all the events I've been to, not that I've been to a ton of them, this one I think is the United Colors of Benetton run. And by that I mean there are multiple ethnicities represented. There are individuals from all over the place, including internationally.
Yeah, I didn't realize how many people flew in from a lot of places for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
right
DC, Vancouver. I mean, just.
There were guys that drove here from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like 9 hours in a car, which I was like, I probably would have drove, like, if I was you. But then again, I drive 9 hours from Erie to Indy every December. That's a little different. But, yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely a wide variety of everything, from body type to age to ethnicity. I mean, you name it, country of origin, the whole thing. And that was the part I think I liked the most. And it's not to say that other runs that are maybe not as blended aren't as fun, but I think you just – get like a bigger metropolitan kind of picture of the community. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot of differences between the people and the places in that. I mean, yes. To kind of give a little bit of a shout out, Damon and I had a rare experience. I did not expect this weekend by meeting David, the editor in chief of Bear World Magazine. I'm like, but like, I know your name, like, I know who you are, but what the hell are you doing here? Like, of all, and he's like, oh, well, I was out at IBC, you know, in Palm Springs. And I was like, yes, I know of that because my friends from San Diego were just there this past weekend. Why are you here? Don't you live in the UK? And he's like, I do. And he's like, I extended my stay. And I was like, well, damn. Like, I can't believe, like, I just met you knowing of who you are, you know, that I never in a million years thought I would have run into him and had a chance to chat in that case. And I think that's also the surprise element of Bear Run weekends, that you just don't see what's coming.
Yeah.
Whether it be the liquor train that runs your ass over or other things that...
Yeah.
You just... I don't know. To be fair, I haven't heard a whole lot of, like, big, like, fun shenanigan episodes this weekend.
Well, I can bring up the one.
Is it mine or somebody else's?
No. We will allow you to own that story. I'm just going to mention... So... And this will bring up a talking point. Thursday night was kind of the opening kind of thing. It was a low-key event at a bar called Pulse.
Uh-huh.
And this was they were doing a drag show, and then, you know, kind of because the theme is what? Roman something, toga party, Roman Bear Holiday.
You can tell we all cared about the theme so much we memorized it.
Ooh, gladiator.
But
men wearing bed sheets, got it.
So they had a Roman goddess themed drag show, and then they were going to have a bears and briefs party, and it was all at this nightclub here in town. Find out about an hour or so after the party had started, we get where I'm, me and Jim are waiting for the bus to get to Pulse, and we're hearing them on the talkies, and they're basically saying, Pulse has run out of liquor. Like, straight out, no alcohol in the establishment. They have run out of liquor. I also have found out that they also ran out of change, like dollar bills.
Singles for the performers.
So they ran out of that. So we were on the bus. We were getting on the bus, and the guy goes, do not take this bus to Pulse. You're still going to Pulse, but don't take these guys there. You're going to Crossings. We will let people know as they're going that the bus is going to Crossings, and then you'll be coming back here and bus to Pulse.
Right.
But it was just very interesting that a bar that is part of this run, but is not like the contest didn't have anything to do with it. The weekend really didn't have anything, quote unquote, to do with it.
Right.
They were just participating, and they suddenly have run out of alcohol, which I have never heard of a bar ever running out of alcohol. Now, money, I can understand. Change can happen, but
before Gary weighs in, because I'm going to tell my version of a Gary story that brings it back around with that little clock to let's talk about Gary's men again. Because we had the conversation when you were shopping around hotels that, you know, you sit down and you explain to their sales staff or whatever it is that, you know, we will tax every last bit of your facilities. They expect people to need outlet strips for their CPAP machines, expect everyone to ask for extra towels, expect the internet to be overloaded, and just basically running down a laundry list of here are all the things our crowd will do to tax your patients and, yes. and facilities.
Yeah.
Say someone didn't go in to Pulse and say, we will tax all of your facilities tonight because about 80% of the crowd is going to show up, which is going to be several hundred people.
Right.
And I can get that they didn't think that it was going to be a big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know Adam well enough to know he told them.
I'm sure he did.
I know him well enough that he said, we're going to have a crowd. Be prepared to have a crowd.
I am sure he did as well.
Which is the only thing you can do, though.
Yes.
And then you have to, which ties back to a conversation I was having late last night, you have to learn to surrender. You have to learn to give it up and be like, I have no power, I have no control over this, this is someone else's deal. Mm-hmm. And in this case, Adam and the committee had no control over a business. Yeah. They most likely told the business, like, here's the estimated headcount we think will be here on Thursday, this is how many we're thinking are going to end up at your bar, you should be prepared for this. Therefore, you should have money, you should have liquor, you should have ice, you should have glassware, you should have whatever the hell it is that you need
yeah.
to make this thing a success. And if they don't, they don't. Maybe they thought they had enough, and we really did, like, suck them dry for everything that was in the bar.
Yeah.
For all we know, I mean, you know, it's out of our control. The thing I appreciate, what Damon was bringing up, is that the committee was so flexible enough to take the lead and be like, and no, like there's no point in burning the scab that's already there, because there are already people there experiencing what no one expected, which is they can't drink. So instead of
I could sober up. Make it stop.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of sending more shipments of people into a bad situation, not horrible, but, you know, not pleasurable, instead of sending them there, they were like, nope, we're just immediately going to go to this other place. And when I heard about it through people, like, not grapevine, but, you know, word of mouth, it blew me away, because the two things I heard was the bar ran out of liquor and they ran out of singles. And we all picked up and went to the other bar. And I'm like, whoa. Like, because in my head, of course, being a coordinator, I'm like, damn. I'm like, that sucks. But then at the same time, I was like, well, thank goodness they did that, because you're trying to mitigate the displeasure of the experience, whether you're responsible or not.
Yeah, it seemed like somebody made a call pretty quick of just make the buses go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's literally what it was. Jim and I got downstairs. We waited for like 10, 15 minutes because a bus was coming to take through Pulse. People got on their bus. It was too full, so we waited for the next one to come, for it to come back around. By the time it had come back around, word had gotten out that Pulse had run out of alcohol. So it arrived with people from Pulse mentioning it as well. So clearly it happened within the first bus leaving and the next bus coming back.
Yeah.
But can you just imagine that conversation of the bartenders or the bartender and the bar manager? Yeah, we're out of liquor.
What?
What? We're out of vodka. No, we're out of liquor, all of it. We're out.
No, Steve, I need you to go downstairs and in the back of the cooler. No, Bob, no. I'm telling you, there's nothing.
It's not there.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's what I appreciated about this weekend is that they shown that flexibility, how to be fluid, just roll with whatever the thing is and move to the next without making a big production of it or, you know, letting it get out of hand, you know, and be something else in that case. There's something you were thinking about?
No, Damon? I'm just going to try to move the conversation to find something else to talk about.
No, that's
I'm looking at my badge and I'm like going, I mean, what else happened this weekend?
To say overall, you know, this run is actually very laid back.
Yeah.
To me, it has kind of a low energy vibe, and that's not a bad thing. You are only leaving the property if you want to go to a bar function or to do the bourbon tasting tours, which is unique because I don't know any other run that does that. And hello, you're in Kentucky.
Yeah, you can't get much. Well, I really wish I would have went. But the one that they did the tour of is the Pappy Van Winkle distillery.
Oh wow! I don't drink, but I know that I know that name. Right? Yeah.
So it's like the one place in the universe that has Pappy Van Winkle, but years ago you would get a taste of the Pappy Van Winkle when you were on the tour, but now that it's blown up and people are
so hard to get
are shooting each other, and they also recently had where they found out a lot of Pappy Van Winkle was stolen directly from
the
barrels.
Yes,
that the barrels were drained and replaced with water, and it, you know, you had to be an inside job of some sort because the only people that had access to the warehouse were employees of the facility.
Correct.
This wasn't like they stole bottles; they stole the fluid out of the barrel.
Yeah. So if listeners are kind of intrigued about what Rex and I are talking about, by all means, Google that stuff and look it up online. It happened, I think, in the past year or 2 years that Pappy is a very popular brand. And that now it's hard to find because of this whole situation that the inventory was not really the inventory that they thought because it was actually being like kind of you know, stolen.
And it ages for 30 years. And 30 years ago, they never thought it would be popular.
Right.
So there's not you can't make more of something you have to wait 30 years to age.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's no like next week we'll have a fresh new batch. Yeah. Like that isn't going to happen. So yeah, it's like hard to find. It's very expensive. I didn't realize that was one of the places they were going to,
because
even though I have no interest in drinking it, I probably would have, you know, paid the money to go to it. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, it's been pool socials. It's been
comedian.
Oh, the comedian. Yes. We'll talk about that from last night. We had kind of a, well, I want to say special, unique guest opportunity, but I know he was just at IBC the previous weekend. And I don't remember how to pronounce his last name.
Peter, is it Bushido?
You're asking the wrong person.
Well, yeah, I think it's Bushido. He's Sicilian, we know that much.
Yes.
He's originally from Rochester, but is now residing in Buffalo with his partner, Mark. He is the world's only gay bodybuilder comedian.
Yes.
The gay male comedian, and he did a comedy set for about 45 minutes to an hour last night, and I think he did relatively well overall.
Yeah.
I know it was mixed because some people like certain types of comedy.
Yeah.
And so his was not the story style that some comedians do, where like, you know, like, I went to the grocery store yesterday and let me tell you what happened, you know, and they go through this whole thing. His was more topical. Not one-liners, but he would pick something and then kind of describe it and go through that particular
bullet points. And
yes,
the ballroom was full.
I mean,
people weren't, well, with the exception of people running to go refill their cocktails, people weren't wandering off. But they were wandering to refill cocktails.
Right. It wasn't a situation where they were like, I don't like this, and they all just get up and leave. Which,
yeah.
I mean, being a person who coordinates events and puts them on, that's like your biggest fear, that the thing that you want people to be entertained by, they're not, and they just leave. There were a couple points where the crowd kind of got loud and talking.
Yeah.
And there, it, I was, and it's my agitation. We discussed this on the podcast I did in Indy with Jeff about the whole, like, when you're the focus of the entertainment, I want everyone to shut the fuck up and pay attention. And I don't know how Jeff gets it in front of his band or by himself and just sings and doesn't get mad. And he had to explain to me, help me learn that there's a difference between being the sole entertainment and being the background. Mm-hmm. And last night, Peter was the entertainment. Yes. Not the background. You know, it's kind of like you being in the Cincinnati Men's Chorus.
Yes.
Like, when you guys are up there and you're singing, you're the reason to be paying attention. If people are talking in the background, you're damn skipping them and turn around and give them stink eye. And be like, what the hell are you doing? Shut please. Up.
You know? He'll give more than a stink eye. He will find a spotlight. And be like, you, over there. What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah.
But so there was a couple times that happened last night, but notably, when he got to a point where he either got to the punchline or took a dramatic pause, it was quiet. Like, it threw me, because I was like,
people are fucking paying attention.
Why did everybody suddenly shut up? Like, because he didn't do anything I thought that, like, would bring people in suddenly. Like, sometimes you will stop doing something just to prove that people aren't paying attention, because mm-hmm. then they'll make an ass of themselves by making noise or whatever, and then, you know, everybody's like, well, no, how are you doing? Yeah. But no, he did pretty well with that. And his closer was unexpected. I was not aware impressive. That was coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. The only reason I know it is because they, North American Bear, took a point to present a video on their the Facebook invite and their Facebook group that introduced him to...
You did way more prep than I did. I didn't realize there was a video.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's his promotional video.
Okay.
And it just had his random comic stuff, and I remember seeing him...
dressed up.
Yes, all doll.
Doing the whole thing.
Bag drag.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Yeah, skag.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting closer that I was not expecting. One of the highlights, I think, of him coming and performing was that his cousin, Jenny Mae, came from West Virginia, drove I don't know how many hours to be here, because they don't see each other much. And
that'd be a hike.
We were thrown off because at our table, Peter and I were the two sitting there before the rest of y'all showed up, and she came over and made a point of saying hello. And she's like, hi, which my first thing was, who's this woman?
Yeah.
I was like, what's with the big tit, big ass lady standing in front of me? Yeah. No offense, but I'm at a Bear Run weekend and I wasn't expecting that. And she didn't look like the rest of the staff. You know, she didn't look like a manager or a caterer or anything like that. So I was like, who is this lady? And she was like, it's so nice to meet you, blah, 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 blah. And then right away, she led great and was like, I'm Peter's cousin. I'm from West Virginia. I rarely get an opportunity to see him. I drove all the way here. I'm so excited that you guys are allowing him to be an entertainer here and book him and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, so she walks away and Peter and I look at each other and we're like, well, that's interesting. Like, wasn't expecting that. And I thought it was awesome. And then he did refer to her during the show.
Yeah. Was she doing this for every table, or was it she just happened to be in your area?
She did. Well, it was before everybody had arrived and picked their seats. We made a point of being in line outside the doors right when the doors opened to get in and get a table.
You are probably the only ones. No one is on time for anything at a Bear.
No, there was about...
with the exception of breakfast.
There was about 20 of us. In fact, it was a slight irritation. They had kept closing the doors and kept chasing people out. They were like, you are not allowed in until 6:45, period. And so anybody that tried to get in, because they had no one manned at the door kind of blocking it, some people would just kind of open the door and walk in, and they'd be chased right back out within about a minute. And so we were the ones that were standing at the beginning of the line that was forming in the hallway because we wanted to get in. So notably, it might have been an older demographic crowd that was waiting in line, because we were like, I don't want to arrive late and randomly pick a seat. So we got in there, you know, and the thing was, I had a funny feeling we were going to try to take a whole table and reserve for whoever we knew might want to sit with us. So that's what happened. We got in, we sat down, and it was Peter and I, and then that's when we started the whole texting, like, where are you? Are you coming? Are you coming to the comedian? We have a table. Do you want a seat? Like, you know, herding cats at the Run. Right, so while that was going on is when she happened to be walking around. So there wasn't a lot of people in there. There was maybe 50, 60 people total in the ballroom. And she just made a point of getting around to each table and hand in the face and introducing. And I was kind of like – but we were like the first table she did it to. So we're both looking at each other like, who was this? Yeah, who dat? And – but she introduced herself. We were like, oh, well, you know, it's nice to meet you and blah, blah, blah.
It was around her 40th birthday, or she had just turned 40?
She had just turned 40.
Yeah.
So then, of course, Peter, the comedian, turns it on her from the stage, and then the whole entire room is full, and we all sing her happy birthday.
That's what that was. I was out in the alcove refilling it.
She cried like 6 times. She cried from some of the jokes that he told and the laughter and that kind of thing. She cried because he pointed out that it had been her 40th birthday and got everybody to sing her happy birthday. And then he gave recognition that she was in the armed forces. Okay. And I mean, like, he handled that really, really well. And then, you know, she was crying because of the closing routine that apparently she had never seen.
Oh.
So not only is she there to see her gay cousin do comedy, and then he's doing this, you know, Liza Minnelli number in a full getup. Which was, it was cute, it was funny. And then she stuck around, and then she got to see the strip auction.
She didn't just see it, she was bidding on the strip auction.
Well, that's true at one point. Well, it was funny, because the bidding got really high, and she was like, I gotta get home. Like, she was actually saying to the crowd, like when it got to like $140, she was like, I gotta go home. Like, kind of like, I need gas money, please. I can't bid any higher, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But no, there was. It was good to do kind of the entertainment thing, and they did the auction and then the dance.
Mm-hmm. The afterwards. Dance was apparently really well.
It was better attended than I expected, and here's why. Dances in hotel ballrooms are odd.
Yeah.
They either go really well people just are like, nope, I'm going to do something else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people say it's the music, sometimes people say it's the environment. Jeff taught me, he said, about when I was organizing, he said, you have to realize it's not a bar. It's not a dance club. It's not black walls and black ceiling and loud thump-a-thump of music and gel lights right in front of your face with a DJ right there. He said the environment's completely different. He said it's like a wedding reception.
Mm.
You've got sconces on walls, wallpaper, high ceilings. Like, he said, no matter what you do, he said, even if you turn all the lights off, it's still not the same environment. He said, so if you want to duplicate a club atmosphere, or like a rave party in a hotel ballroom, wrong. Yeah. He said the only ones that get away with it are those that probably put together the circuit deal. You know what I mean? But then again, they probably transform the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Where here, when you do that, he said, so if you learn to release and surrender and let go of that image and just let it be what it is, it may be good, it may be bad, it just depends. And I think the chemistry happens. I hate to say it, but are people in a good mood? Are they liquored up? Like,
do they
like the music? You know?
I believe so. Oh, well, my God.
To bring it back to Indy, mm-hmm. this past year, the Saturday night dance ended up being packed. Everybody was barely dressed because of the way circumstances in the schedule fell. It was a cocktail party where they were giving out free liquor, followed by a cocktail party where they were giving out free liquor, followed by a cocktail party where they were giving out free liquor,
right?
Followed by a cocktail party where they were giving out free liquor. If you didn't figure out a way to be drunk that night, you were screwing it up. So come midnight when the dance finally started, everybody was so thoroughly frickin' drunk. And that dance floor was packed. Now, not everybody was dancing. There was a mixture of things going on,
and
not everybody was dancing.
There was some interpretive movement. There was some weaving and wobbling all over the place. There was some physical intimacy, as we might call it.
And, okay, this is where my prude card comes in. Because I'm totally okay with bears going at it and all that stuff, especially in a dance, because, you know, we're grinding up against each other. But the way to... here was set up, we had a bar in the room that was being staffed by the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, to me, there is a level where you need to go, okay, maybe making out is kind of a little weird, but like friends of mine, and I'm not going to mention my name, were basically dry humping, like on a chair with the bar, like 10 feet away.
Right.
Like, going at it like they're in a... At a bar in a, at a, or at a circuit party where they're going at it.
Right.
Bathhouse behavior will not be tolerated.
Yes. And it's one of these things where I'm just like... like, it's cute for a little while, but then after, there's a point to me where it's like, okay, we need to either move on or you either need to finish the deed because at least you give them a free show. Because it's just like this. It just felt inappropriate to me. Just only because the bar was not part of the
run. It was not a completely controlled environment where it was just us.
Yeah.
Whereas in Indy, that's a completely controlled environment where it's just us, and they, exactly. The staff specifically is like, yeah, we know what's going on. We're staying over here.
Yeah. Where at Indy they have that hotel bar that's not really connected to the hotel.
It's not owned and operated by them. It's in the building though.
And they, you know, people, if they wanted to, they can go there, but they don't. You don't have the. They don't mix and match. They don't go across the. They don't cross the streams.
Nice, great geeky reference.
That was the one thing, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Damon. I'm a little conflicted about it as well. I agree with you. Like, there's something hot about watching, you know, guys have a really good time. But I agree, like, you've got to... I think it needs to be appropriate to the venue of where you are mm-hmm. in that place. You know, sure, by all means, if you're in a gay-owned bar and they got a back room, ain't nobody foolish about what's going on. But in a hotel, like, ballroom, lobby, elevator, hallway, like, just... keep in check to what your environment is around you, because like I was telling Chris last night, I said, you know, I'm here as an attendee, so yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Damon and I were watching it uh-huh. and I was like, well, that's something to look at. But I also said to Chris, I said, it's not my event, because if it was my event, I'd walk right over and be like, ahem.
Excuse me.
And it's not that I would yell at them, it's just take it to a room.
Yeah,
that,
I don't care how many people you pack in the room to watch. Just take it, you know. Just don't put it on display here, because our responsibility as a group of people having a good time is to not make other people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And people might debate that, but I think the point is when it's exclusively your space, your place, then the dynamics, the rules, the limitations, whatever you want to say, are different. The guidelines, but it's not our space. And I agree with you. There was like six of the hotel staff plus the security guy walking right through the middle of the dance.
Exactly.
Oh, you know. And the little old lady who was cleaning off the table.
Oh!
I felt so bad for her. Just, you could see it on her face, just the shock of the whole event. And her knowing, I have to be in here doing this.
Now, was it the right same now. Little old lady that stopped in when we were doing the cocktail party upstairs? Okay. That woman did not need to be exposed shit. She was a very sweet little old lady. She did not need to be exposed to our shit.
That's exactly it. And it was every time that I've seen her this weekend, her eyes are just massive. They're huge. All of everything that's going on.
I will, and I know... Go ahead.
Which that goes back to what we were saying earlier about how the staff here is super compliant. Like they if there's something that they can do to make your experience a little bit better, just that tiny little bit, then they do. Like there was we had the complimentary buffet breakfast this morning where you had eggs and waffles, bacon, sausage, and Peter Jinko that came up with Gary wanted grits, and so the waitress went and got him grits.
To explain, Peter's originally from New York, and he thought moving to Pennsylvania was moving south. So coming all the way to Kentucky, all he talked about as soon as we got across the border was, oh, I'm going to get me some grits. Which we're laughing about, because we're like, no, honey, you're not in the deep south. This isn't Mobile. Like, you know, this isn't Nolens where like it makes sense. You get grits with your breakfast. So he was disappointed that yesterday morning's grits, they didn't have any grits on the breakfast buffet. So we sit down. Of course, Peter retired early out of all of us last night. And so when we all finally filter in and show up and sit at the table.
He never came back, did he?
What's that?
He never came back, did he?
From.
Oh, no, he did. He came back. Oh. And then he left again.
Remember he
oh, yes, yes, yes. He left for a bit and then did come back. Well, as happens for all of us. So anyways, he did come back to the dance, but then he called it about maybe going on 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So as opposed to some of us who were like, we called it at 2, 3, 4, or 5.
4.
Right. So that being the case.
No idea what time it was.
Right. So a bunch of us stumbled in there after him to join the table. And the first thing he said was, he's like, I got my grits. And I said, you asked? And he said, I did. He asked the staff, and they made it from the kitchen because it wasn't an item on the buffet. And they didn't charge him for it. Like, they just did it, like, to be, you know, polite and nice.
Were they good? Did he like them?
Apparently, because he was very happy about the fact that he got grits.
Well, he was pleased as a peach.
Yeah. Oh. And I was like, well, good for you. Like, I'm glad that this was a positive experience for you in that way. But I think, you know, Chris's point is that the staff has been so good that they're willing to do things that are reasonable within their capacity. Yeah. But I also think it goes back to what we talked about a little bit last night. Chris and I were up late talking, is that you get back what you give. Mm-hmm. If you're polite to individuals, they tend to be polite back to you. If you treat them like a piece of shit, then guess what? They're going to be a little resistant to being nice to you because they're being treated like a punching bag.
Yeah. I just agree. And I hope that it doesn't. And I'm gonna preface it that this is only the third year that they've done this.
Right.
So, but this has been the hotel.
Yeah, I know. But so, you know, you think, okay, they kind of know it. So maybe the staff at the hotel, at the bar that night, we're kind of like, okay, well, there go the gays going at it, going like crazy. Okay, we're just going to keep serving drinks and keeping them happy. Maybe that was it. And maybe they weren't like...
Right, and that's right. Definitely the way it seemed, but there's that little bit of, hey, we need to be respectful of them.
Yes.
They have been nothing but respectful of us and putting up with all of the shit that we've put them through this weekend. And we just need to have that little bit of respect for them to go, you know what? I'm not going to get buck-ass naked in front of these straight people.
Well,
yeah,
there were buck-ass naked people at the party.
There were a couple kids that were going up and down the hallway in some pretty...
Skimpy... attire.
Underwear and socks and shoes.
I wouldn't call those underwear. I would call them a rubber band.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think... the one thing I learned is that from the front desk manager, you know, she flat out knew the name of the organization that hosts the event, like, and said, we love the Kentucky Burby Bears, they love us, like, I mean, and I was like impressed by that. Like, she owned that. Like, there was no fooling. They know what the story is with this place. And like I've always said, if you're gonna do something, you should be as realistically honest as you can about what the circumstances are, who the group is, that kind of stuff. And I've said when I've put together my group, you know, this is who we are, this is the thing, like Rex was referring to, like, make sure that you have this, that, and the other thing on hand. Make sure that you have food or whatever it is, that kind of stuff. And so as long as you do that, you just put all the cards out on the table, you know, is best about a reference in that case.
Yeah, Mandy was her name, right?
I think so.
We really liked her because I think she's been at the hotel the entire weekend. I don't think she's left and gone home. And it's any time that you've needed anything. When me and Rex first got here, we're like, oh, hey, you know, we need to check in. And she's like, oh, okay, we're going through renovations. So here, let me leave this post and let me hand walk, grab your hands and walk you down the hallway and show you exactly how everything is set up, where everything is. That's not... her normal capacity. That's her going above and beyond, and that's like the smallest thing that she's done for this group this weekend, just to brag on her a little bit more.
Yeah. Right.
And that's you know, that's how compliant that the staff has been and how just great that they've been.
Right. And so to that, I give a tip of the hat to Adam and his group. I think that they picked a great venue based off of what they provide for you. Rex, you and I have had this conversation. I have yet to find, I don't think it exists, a perfect location that like you can check every single box. There's always like a weird oddity about the layout of the building, the facility size, like they have this but they don't have that, you know, so you do choose the best that you can with what you
compromise,
got.
Compromise, choose your battles.
Yep.
Right.
I couldn't imagine. I think this is a good size venue. There is enough rooms, I think, because they only went overflow like about a month or so ago.
Well, and they don't have the whole property.
Yeah,
there's so many rooms here. They would have to grow to a very large scale size of a bear run in order to take all the rooms in this particular building. So that was important for me to know, and I didn't know that coming to do it. And it doesn't mean anything technically, but once I arrived, I found out because of the overflow thing, I thought, oh, they must have sold out the hotel. And then I got corrected by someone else, and they said, no, they only have a block. They only could get so many rooms. So once that block was filled up, then that's why they went to the building literally 90 feet away next door.
There's this thing called basketball, and it's popular here in Kentucky.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And the guys who dribble the balls.
The basketball players.
There's a big thing that's going on this weekend, and they usually have a good chunk of people that stay here when there's games going on at the arena.
That's right. They were mentioning that.
So there's that, and then, but it just so happens this hotel also owns the hotel on the other side of the parking lot. So it's the Overflow Hotel is 90 feet, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
From door to door.
I mean, I walked over there last night with somebody to go get cocktails, and I was like, wow, this is shorter than it looks like when you drive past it.
Right. And that's why I said, you know, in comparison to, like, other events I've been to, including my own, this one takes the cake on the Overflow. Anybody that wants to complain about, I don't want to be in the other building. Are you kidding me? You're walking across a parking lot. Literally. That's it. Yeah. What, from one door to the next. Boom.
You can do that drunk, right?
Oh, yeah. You can do that very drunk.
Yeah.
You can do that. Nice. Very, I saw what you did there.
Yes. I'll own that last night, the... It all started with
the spirits weren't kind for you.
Yeah, it all started with the cocktail party. It was
the cocktail party he was hosting, by the way.
Yes. Well,
he don't let him try to shove it off on the hop. On
Chris
the
and William decided to have a very in-depth conversation about tabletop games, something that I, about 25 or 30 minutes into it, I was like, all right, I can't have this conversation or listen to this conversation with you two anymore. You're getting so deep down a rabbit hole of esoteric weird things that I'm just not listening anymore.
Esoteric weird things.
Now, that being said, all they had to do was keep filling little cups with liquor and setting them on the bar.
Right.
Because a couple of the, I'm not sure if they're volunteers for the event. I'm not sure if they're attending the event. But yesterday they were selling raffle tickets.
The two little boys in their
slingshot shorts or whatever they are. They were. I was like, well, if you want to come help out with the cocktail party, all you have to do is basically wear socks, skimpy underwear, and then just hand people cocktails and make them drink. Which has proved to be a very good way to handle a cocktail party in the past.
Well, and I agree with you on that, Rex. It happened at Indy. They had, what, like 8 servers all dressed either in boxer shorts, jock straps, union suits, but it was all thematically red because that runs close to the holiday season.
Christmas.
So, and they had 2 drinks, and that's all they did was walk around with trays.
Here.
And would you like one of these or one of these? And that's all they did. But that was insane to me at Midwest. I mean, kudos to those guys for the Sterling Bears doing that because it was like 6 hours nonstop, and they didn't run out. Like, they just kept serving those shots.
Yeah.
All of that time, which is why Rex was saying people were so rocked at that run by the time they got to the dance because they had been plied with liquor
and you
nonstop.
You didn't have to stand up to go refill, and these were shots that would knock you on your ass if you were standing up. So you could sit in your chair, have a cute boy in tight shorts deliver you drinks for hours on end. By the time you stood up, you were falling down, and a lot of people did.
Which is why I said no at least a dozen times.
Leave a wobble, but they don't fall down.
I was like, they were like, you want some? I was like, no, I'm fine. Because I learned very quickly, and maybe it's just age, you moderate. You pay attention, and you're like, okay, if I'm going to be here for a couple hours, I have a couple of these, not a dozen of these things, because then it will be goodnight, Gracie, and that's the end of this.
Yes.
You know, and nobody likes that.
Yeah. And the two guys that were helping out with giving out drinks were very good at their job, and they kept coming around, and they gave me a drink, and they had their drink, and we drank, and...
We drank.
And drank.
And drank.
And drank.
And drank.
So that was an hour and a half of... And the punch that we made was essentially vodka and food coloring. More or less. With sugar.
So and it was, the bears drank it up.
Well, that's what most 5-gallon beverage like coolers are of it's well, I mean, a concoction of.
Well, and you got to
coloring,
keep in mind,
liquor, water,
over
being frozen in an ice form, whatever.
Yeah, you can get liquor at the
Rite Aid.
Rite Aid. I keep wanting to call it CVS. You can get liquor at the Rite Aid, and you can get really crappy, shitty, cheap vodka. You can get a gallon for $9. So. So,
and
5 bottles into a 5-gallon container created...
Baby aspirin?
Yeah, it tasted like baby aspirin. And it tasted like baby aspirin when it was... returned.
Purged.
Purged.
Purged later, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And to give my version of kudos to the staff is, I left a note on the counter that said, I got sick last night, I'm sorry, with a tip, And when I came back up to the room, it was probably 3-4 o'clock. The carpet had been shampooed. Everything was immaculate. All the linens had been changed.
Well,
they did an extremely good job. And yeah, and you guys, I know you saw the pictures. I know you have the pictures. I took the pictures.
I don't want to see the pictures.
You don't want to see the pictures.
I don't want to get sick myself.
Yeah, it was.
I got pretty sick.
It was a bad. New version of American Horror Story. The Exorcism, like season.
It was pretty bad. It was from the bed, running, projectile vomiting the entire way to the bathroom. Oh, so lovely. It was bad.
Yeah, thank you for that image now.
It was awful. I am rooming with Rex for this event, and I got in hours after he got in. I opened the door, which was for some reason Jimmy'd open. I walk in, and it looked like a crime scene. I thought somebody might be dead. And then I just heard sleep apnea happened, and he snored, and okay, he's not dead. That's a good sign.
Right.
I am not sleeping in this room.
So Chris texted me pictures of the crime scene, and I was like, "Are you okay? Like, do you need help? Do I need to come to the room?" And yeah, and then I was like, and it was funny because he said Rex is alive, he is sleeping. I was like, "Okay, like we can all take a breath and be like, at least it's not as awful as we thought it might be." And then I was like, "If you want to stay in our room, and you know," and I think a lot of that happens though. I mean, I think that's why Bear Runs are so enjoyable, is the camaraderie factor of whether it be someone you met that day.
And that goes back to what we were saying earlier about the first time that me and you met.
Right.
And we made a statement about how saving each other at Bear Runs.
Right.
The first time that Gary and I met, me and Gary ended up sharing a bed because he wasn't able to get to the room he was staying in. I don't remember the circumstance.
You know, I don't remember either, to be honest with you, because normally at that time when I was going to the Columbus Bear Run, which I haven't in a couple years, nothing against that group, but it's actually usually conflicting with another event I go to. But when I was going, I was staying with my friend Stan and Tim in their house up, you know, outside of the city, downtown. So I don't know why I didn't necessarily go back that particular year, because I don't think I had, I don't know, maybe that's what it was, is that I didn't have a room and I was staying with them, and maybe I couldn't stay at the house anymore.
I honestly can't remember any of the circumstances. Yeah. I just remember, oh, look, Gary's in a bed.
Right, but that was it coming full circle of he shared the half of my bed, and then here it is, you know, 4 years later, and oh, hey, now I need a bed in the same circumstance.
Oh.
But I mean, and I think what Chris is alluding to though is like the whole pay it forward concept.
Yeah,
like
right.
you do this for someone and then they do that. Only in this case, we all amongst the group of us have had the experiences that we've done the thing for the other person, either be it directly in this particular room or with someone adjacent to that. And I think that we all appreciate that in some form. And that's really where I think that people enjoy a Bear Run. People that don't enjoy a Bear Run, they're probably not getting that experience. They're not having that connection, that quality aspect to what they're doing.
Jeff has mentioned it in the interview with you. If you go to a Bear Run, you make it your own and you do what you want to do. I don't think you can go to a Bear Run and not have fun unless you either have preconceived notions or ideas of what you're going to get, or if you make a point to not to be in your own little box. You know, if you don't step outside of your box or step outside of your comfort zone, all you're going to be is yourself, and people see that.
And some people aren't okay with being themselves.
Yeah.
If there are people who go to a Bear Run that they want to get liquored up, and they want the entire weekend to be about being drunk. There's people who go to Bear Runs and they want the whole thing to be about how many people they can sleep with. There's people that go to the Bear Runs and it's, you know, a social experience. And the social experience is the biggest aspect to it. The number of people that I talk to, and oh, well, where are you going? Oh, going down to the Lexington Bear Run or whatever. And they're like, oh, isn't that just a catered orgy? No, it's not a catered orgy. But if you want it to be, you could probably make it a catered orgy.
Very easily.
Right, and I totally agree with Rex. Like, you know, I think the best enjoyable weekends are the ones where you don't, which is what I used to do, you don't itinerize the hell out of your weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, well, at this hour I'm doing this, and then I'm going to go do this. I think there's a structure put in place. You're given a schedule. Here's the events that are happening. And most weekends like this are loose, that you can come and go as you please and do what you want. The ones that I've regretfully not heard some great things about are the ones where the staff really comes across with, at 6 o'clock, we're having dinner.
Yeah.
You'll be there. Mm-hmm. And because people get resistant to being told what to do. And I've said this over the years, not to be disparaging, but, you know, individuals that come to an event like this, sometimes you have to hold their hand and guide them. And as long as one leads, the rest follow like lemmings, so to speak. Like, they all kind of go to the thing that you want them to, most of them. You know, and that's fine. You know, but when you get a little militant state mm-hmm. about it, and you're kind of like, no, we will do this at this time, and that's all there is to it, you're fine. And notably last night with the bourbon tours, the president of Kentucky Bourbon Bears spoke briefly, and he handled that so beautifully, basically saying, listen, guys, the tours have to leave exactly on time. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. We cannot wait, because if we wait, the whole thing starts to fall apart because everything is timed to the minute. And I was like, what an awesome way to handle that, because he had one moment where he pretty much had everyone in one room and was basically laying the line, and if they weren't in the room, most likely they're going to hear from someone else. Yeah. Word up, like, if you're doing one of the two things tomorrow, you've gotta have your stuff together for that.
It's a weekend. The tours crank through the that facility.
Yeah.
Those facilities are making money on these things.
And those are the only things this weekend that were that structured.
Yeah.
Everything else has been pretty good or pretty loose. Speaking of which, I regret to say, it's dinner time.
Oh,
is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, dinner is just starting up. I know I was checking my phone because I was getting messages. like, where are you? We have a table. Blah, blah, blah. So, with that, we're going to wrap up, and I want to thank everybody for listening in, and to Rex and Chris, of course, joining Damon and I as guests on the podcast.
Thank you.
And by all means, go out. Join a club, get active in something, go to a bar, a function.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Doing some kind of bear run, like you said, even a small one, if you're a bear or a bear admirer or whatever, going to one and just feeling it out is sometimes the best thing to do. You will meet people who you will know for potentially a long time. We've kind of made this connection very known that they're these three guys have been connected for quite some time, and I've been connected with Rex for a while, and just meeting you, I've known you, bitch, forever. You know, but it's just one of those, like, you know, you go and you experience things and you may meet someone you could potentially be a lifelong friend.
Right. I totally agree. That said, I hope you guys enjoy the episode and listen in, as hopefully we're going to do more of these on the roads in future episodes whenever we get a chance to get away and go someplace. And y'all have a great week.
Yeah.